Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to the Ways of Faith podcast. Today is Sunday, May 17th, and it is the sixth Sunday of Easter. And today I'd like to speak about what is probably the major issue on all of our minds, and that is the governor's executive order limiting faith-based gatherings, along with other social gatherings, to 10 people or less, and our religious leaders' response, and how to understand these protocols that have been put in place for the public celebration of the Mass. And so you should have all received by now an email that I sent to all parishioners, which contained a letter from our diocesan administrator, Father Bissonnette, and a listing of the protocols that will have to be followed at public celebrations of the Mass for the time being. And here, I think it's important for you to know and to remember that these protocols that we speak about, these protocols that instruct us on how to celebrate Mass in a way that is safe and promotes health during this pandemic, they came from and were written by Father Bissonnette, our administrator. They did not come from any government entity, okay? Father Bissonnette, in consultation with health experts and other Catholic religious leaders from our diocese, as well as taking into account the information and safety standards put out by health departments, such as the Center for Disease Control, has decided upon these specific protocols for the public celebration of Mass in the Diocese of Duluth. Again, these protocols have been created and written by Father Bissonnette. They are available on our website and on the bulletin boards at our churches. In fact, Father Bissonnette and the bishops of Minnesota have been very clear that the decision of when and how to celebrate Mass is our decision as a church, not a decision of the government. I'd like to read a portion of Father Bissonnette's letter that I sent to you on Friday in case we haven't had the opportunity to read it yet, or in case we just overlooked this part, or just as a review for us, okay? So in his letter, Father Bissonnette says this. He says, "It is important for you, the Catholic faithful and clergy, to know that the Catholic bishops of Minnesota are united in their conviction that the decision of when to resume public masses is ultimately ours and not subject to the directives from the governor or other public officials. Just as we dispensed with the Sunday obligation and suspended public masses voluntarily before any executive orders were issued," and that's important to remember, by the way, is that our diocese suspended the public celebration of the Mass in order to protect people during this pandemic before the governor issued his stay-at-home order. So we were already looking to the health and well-being of our parishioners before that order came out, not as a result of it, okay? So Father Bissonnette says, "Just as we dispensed with the Sunday obligation and suspended public masses voluntarily before any executive orders were issued, the decision to gather again belongs to us alone. Our decision will be guided by three principles. First, the love of neighbor and concern for the common good, including the health and well-being of our neighbors. Number two, respect for public authorities and their directives and guidance. And number three, the rights of the faithful to the sacraments and the duty of worship we owe to God. The faithful can expect that we will weigh these considerations carefully as part of our common responsibility to the state, and that we will zealously protect our liberties to assemble and worship freely. Early next week, the bishops of Minnesota will together decide on a path forward, which will include identifying a specific date on which to return to limited public masses of greater than 10 people." All right? And so, as a result of that, I think it's important for us to remember that these protocols now that we will have to put in place temporarily, they may seem very strict to us, right? Gosh, these are a lot of changes to have at Mass, and they seem awfully strict. Well, we need to remember why they're so important, why these protocols are important, why it's important that we follow them, okay? Because they're important for three primary reasons, I would say. First, because as Christians, we have a solemn duty, an obligation, to do what each of us can to promote and protect the common good of all. And that includes the health and well-being of our neighbors. So we will follow these protocols because as Christians, we should be willing to go the extra mile, to do what we can to protect one another and keep one another safe and healthy. We care for each other, and we are called to love one another. And that includes doing things such as these protocols that might seem strange to us, but to do them out of love for each other. The second reason is that by following them well, we demonstrate that, in fact, as a church, we are quite capable of taking care of each other and governing ourselves. It is evidence to those who govern us in secular government that as Christians, we take the care of our neighbor seriously, and we can be trusted to do the utmost in order to care for each other, while at the same time practicing our religion and carrying out our worship in a way that is central to who we are. And third, because we do owe it to work with the state as much as is reasonably possible. Our Catholic social teaching reminds us that being a good citizen is part of what it means to be a Christian. And part of being a good citizen, of course, is to be respectfully obedient to the state authority as long as they warrant that respect and obedience by their actions, and to work with them whenever possible to help alleviate the needs of others and to bring about the common good. So again, I ask all of us to be patient, to be open, to be obedient ultimately, and to follow these protocols from our legitimate religious superior, Father Bissonnette, to the best of our ability. And I'd also like to say this. For many of us, the first time back at church for Mass in the next couple of days or weeks is going to seem strange, okay? And it may even cause us to feel uncomfortable. What I mean by that is we might find that we feel rather shocked to see ropes that are roping off certain pews, or to see little bottles of holy water instead of the normal bowl that we dip our fingers in. It's going to feel awfully strange, probably, to receive Holy Communion right after Mass rather than during Mass itself. And we certainly will feel restricted in being asked not to have congregational singing at Mass. And you know, that's okay. It's okay. It's okay to feel disappointment. It's okay to feel frustrated. It's okay to feel perplexed. It's very understandable. As we know, a lot of people in our society are feeling that way right now due to the pandemic. Just think of all of the canceled graduation ceremonies and sports and business opportunities and the postponement of weddings and funerals and the like. But I would also like to ask us to remember a couple of important things here. First, these measures found in the diocesan protocols for Mass, they are temporary, okay? They're temporary, they're short term. We will return to the celebration of Mass just as we knew it before the pandemic began. It's just that for now, things have to be a little different, okay? Secondly, these changes offer us the opportunity to kind of offer it up, so to say, to unite the suffering that we might feel of Mass not being like what we remembered with the suffering of Jesus, and to unite that suffering for a specific person or purpose. Maybe we can offer that suffering for someone whom we know is not able to come to Mass at all. Or maybe we can offer it for those who have lost loved ones due to the pandemic, or offer it for the safety of healthcare workers. Third, we must remember, and I think this is critical, we have to remember that the Mass is the Mass is the Mass. What I mean is that it is the same sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the offering of his body and blood for our salvation, whether or not there is a lot of people present, or just a few, or a lot of singing, or no music at all, or whether people are able to be social, or whether they have to practice social distancing. The Mass never loses any of its power, majesty, or glory due to any of those factors. The quiet and simple Mass celebrated by a priest with just a handful of people in a small country parish has just as much spiritual power and impact as a grand high Mass celebrated at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. It's the Mass, And that's what's important. And so in these coming days, let's hold fast to our faith and our trust, brothers and sisters. God is with us. He's with us and he loves us. And he will continue to see us through. And this is indeed a hopeful time, not just for us as a church as we begin to be able to return to Mass, but I think as a society too, as it seems from the data that the virus may be slowing down in its spread and its devastating effect. That's a good thing, obviously. It's what we've been praying for. And so these are good signs of things to come. Let us trust and have faith that God will continue to be with us, to love us, and to lead us. And that with him, we have nothing to fear. Okay? May God bless you.